And this hour, of course, we'll take your phone calls, your stories, your questions. Michael Fitzhugh Bell with us, author of The Invisible Crime, and he's been talking about what happened to him, a remarkable story. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Michael Fitzhugh Bell with us, of course, and we'll get to your calls and your stories as well. Michael, the book that you wrote, The Invisible Crime, were you trying to point out what happened to you, or is this a warning for people that something could be happening to them?
Well, it's both. It's my personal story, and it's also meant as a tool, can be used as a tool to help explain to especially new targeted individuals or people that feel they're being targeted. It can be a tool to explain what's happened to them to other people that are unaware of the crime, but also it's really written to raise the awareness of this terrible crime that is real. And here's the thing, George. This crime is being scaled to the entire global population.
Who came up with this, Michael? Who came up with the idea to do this? What do you think?
What I believe ultimately it was the 1%, the people at the very top that are collecting all the data. What it is the most, it's simply the most advanced weapon system ever created by mankind, and it involves every aspect of science, neuroscience, medicine, physics, psychology, mathematics, and all war techniques, tactics, and methods, and the sum of all human knowledge. That's what this crime is. It's simply the most advanced weapon system ever created by mankind.
If they programmed you to rob a bank, would you? Could you?
I don't know. Something extreme like that has not happened to me, but I believe it is possible to be either a programmed assassin or a programmed test subject. That's certainly possible. It hasn't, to my knowledge, that has not happened to me. But also, from what I understand, people that do have that kind of instruction thrust upon them may not even have any memory of it. But that has never happened to me. But it is certainly possible, George.
Have other targeted people come forward to you?
Oh, yes. I have. Every day I have people reaching out to me on my website and wanting to speak to me. And I've talked to, since I wrote the book, I've corresponded with and spoken to hundreds of people that that have the exact same thing that is happening to me has happened to them, and they want answers, and my book provides those answers and helps a lot of people. And another reason that I wrote the book is because when this first happened to me, there were books on the subjects of organized stalking, electronic harassment, mind control, but there wasn't really one that existed that told the story of one person, and certainly didn't include all the medical evidence that I had to collect around the world, which cost a fortune to collect, and all the different technologies, recently declassified technologies, are all in the book. A book like that did not exist. And it would have been a tremendous help for me to have this kind of information. So that's why I created the book. It's really one of a kind in that respect.
I believe that. And has this played havoc with you having a relationship or interacting with people?
Completely. Just to let you know, the level of sophistication of this of these technologies allows the perpetrators, whenever I attempt to, even if I go on online dating and try to meet a young lady,
go to paranormaldate.com, Michael.
I would probably be able to use. But what happens to me is I'll make contact with someone, but by the time I get to meeting them for the first date, the criminal group has already influenced them. They've already been, and they'll end up shunning me on this first meeting. I'll be shunned by them, and I'll also have small acts of harassment performed against me. Boy, that's how big the reach of this criminal syndicate is. They can get to every bank. Every single person that I interact with that's sent to my home, whether it's the FedEx man, the UPS man, the postal person, the electrician, the plumber, every single person that comes into my house has been, the criminal syndicate has already spoken to them, and when they come here, they perform small acts of harassment to let me know that they're part of the group.
Now, there will be some, Michael, who will say, come on, you're just being paranoid. How do you address that?
Well, I mean, it certainly sounds like that, and it's made to look like that. People that don't know anything about the crimes and how they work, there's very little evidence, except, that, of course, if you have medical evidence like mine, which is overwhelming proof to me that something terrible has happened. But the organized stalking, it's so sophisticated that, and it's really one person. It's one person against an army. And when you have that army that are all part of the same team, it's very difficult to prove. And it leaves very little trace evidence. That's why in the book also I document everything, and I created techniques of filming the organized stalking in particular. That's something that's in the book that doesn't exist anywhere else. I had to create these techniques to film, because here's the thing, George, especially in the store, I will have merchants shun me in the neighborhood, in the areas that I live, the community-based targeting, the organized stalking that I received.
They don't want your business?
Lies are told about me in the community, and the merchants, it causes the merchants to shun me because they believe the lies, probably something along the lines of a child molester or a pedophile, something that would instantly make people, strangers, hate you. So those are the type of terrible lies that are being told about Target.
Or you're a shoplifter or something.
Something terrible, and then when you're in the store, they'll start performing small acts of harassment that you've been sensitized to bother you, to torture you, to terrorize you. And it's really especially organized stalking is really a form of terrorism against an individual, sometimes involving hundreds or even thousands of people targeting a single person.
Did Roger Tulsis find you, or did you find him?
I found Roger, and he's been very instrumental in giving me information over the years, and told me a lot of things that I didn't know, and told me some of the basics of how this crime works, things that I wouldn't have found anywhere else, only through Roger. So he's been very helpful in that respect in giving me information, and told me a lot when I was, particularly in the beginning, this crime completely overwhelms the target, the victim, and turns their life upside down, inside out, and most people just really can't cope with it. And I have to say that you really, if you are a targeted individual, you really have to, you find ways to learn to adapt and cope with this overwhelming crime that's ongoing and constant and gaining momentum and intensity. It escalates over time.
All right, let's go to the phones as they line up for you. We'll go to Tom in Cleveland, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I wanted to say, George, your show is fantastic.
Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate that.
My question for your guest is, how do these entities get into the body? Excuse me. Are doctors indoctrinated, or is it done by the pharmaceuticals?
It's done, I believe, from what I understand, it's being done in hospitals by doctors that are part of the crime. It's really, it's an example of gross medical misconduct, completely illegal human experimentation. And when it's being done in elective surgeries or dental surgeries or dental visits, that's where these implants, these biomedical devices, can be initiated into the body. But for someone that's targeted, often will have a lot more than the than a person that is just a regular person. They may have some form of the technology. As I mentioned, it's estimated 50% of Americans already have been implanted without their knowledge, consent, or permission. But it's there's so many different ways that it can happen: through vaccines, through food, through the way it happened to me. People can come into your home in the middle of the night. They have things called Sandman teams, that a team of three people that will come into a home, and if it's a couple or even a family, and implant them, drug them and implant them when they're asleep. Jeez. And then when they wake up in the morning, they're none the wiser.
I wonder, have they ever been shot by somebody that they break into a home and, you know, the person shoots them?
What happens is, from what I understand, people are usually watched, and they're under surveillance for quite some time before the abduction or the implanting actually takes place, and they know pretty much whatever a person is doing, when they go to sleep, when they wake up, when they're in, when they're out, and when they're asleep. All these things are carefully calculated, from what I understand, before any of these Sandman teams enter a home.
All right, let's go to Bernadette in Athens, Alabama now. Hi, Bernadette. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. This is your Bernadette that used to live in St. Petersburg.
Oh, there you are. You've moved.
You know, I can't get you too well, but you are coming in loud and clear this morning.
You got it.
Let me get to this, okay? I believe that I am one of those 50% that he's talking about. Let me give it to you real quickly, okay? Because
sure.
I think you got a lot of callers. Back in 2006, in the springtime, well, before that, I had gone to a hospital in Florida. And for 9 hours in the emergency room only, they charged me $20,945. So
wow.
When I called them to ask them, I jokingly said, did you put the comma in the wrong place? How do you charge me that much? Okay, so they started sending me a bill. I'm kind of touched when it comes to my mental health, long-time child problems, okay?
Okay.
I asked them, I said, would you like for me to send you some anthrax? If you don't straighten out my bill, that's what you're going to do. FBI comes to my mother's house.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. You know, I said something crazy, and I didn't know the severity of it. The FBI actually came to my mother's house in Tampa, Florida, while I was at work. She told them my daughter's had some issues all of her life. Okay, let me fast forward for you. In 2006, in September, I had to go into the hospital to have a tumor removed. Okay, it resulted in a complete hysterectomy. I developed a hernia, okay? I moved to Bainbridge, Georgia. I had, in March of 2008, the hernia repaired, supposedly. They put a mesh in me that I later found out was recalled. It was a barred mesh, and I told you this on your radio program. Okay, let me get to the real point. And sometime around August or September, and this is on my Facebook page, I was sitting, when I moved around a lot. I moved to South Bend, Indiana. And I'm sitting one day, and I feel this itching between my leg, right in the inner part of my thigh. And so I started, and it was something hard. And this, my question is, you know, I want to finish this, but my question is, how deep will they go into your body, and also, what does it look like? Anyway, I started scratching this thing, and I eventually worked it out of my leg.
Yeah, it's not very deep. Now maybe in your case, Michael, some of these are deep, but they're just primarily under the skin, aren't they?
That's correct. Unless there are major implants that have been installed into the ears or the retinal implants in the eyes or something in the brain, generally the biomedical devices that show up in all of my MRIs and ultrasounds are just beneath the surface of the skin.
And they're about the size of a grain of rice, aren't they?
They can be even smaller than that now.
Wow.
The technologies are doubling and tripling every 5 years, and they're getting smaller with greater capabilities.
All right, Tom has a text back in the L.A. studios for you. What do you have, Tom?
Hey, Michael, we have a text in from Samuel in Boston. He says, what has been your biggest fear in all of this, and are you at a point where you carry a weapon?
My biggest fear is that I believe that they have the ability to end my life at any time. So that was one of the reasons that I wrote the book, because I wasn't sure if the world was going to hear my story and hear what had happened to me. And I don't carry a weapon or have a weapon, really, because from what I understand, even further research, that oftentimes if people are under the...
They make them turn their weapon on themselves.
If they're under the influence of mind control, the weapon can be misused
against the
person that owns it. So that's the reason I don't have one.
What do you use to kind of shield yourself? A Faraday cage? I think I saw a picture of your bedroom on our website. You've got aluminum all over the place.
That was an original an electrostatic egg that I used in the very beginning that Roger Tulsis created. And I used that for about 6 months before the criminals turned up the intensity of the attacks, and that was no longer really effective. It still worked a little bit, but not as well as it did in the beginning. I had that really just in the beginning of my targeting. Now I use, as I write in one of my chapters, I reveal all of my countermeasures, which are highly effective, short of completely eliminating the symptoms. I use neodymium rare earth magnets, which are so strong that their magnetic field is able to disrupt the frequencies, the incoming and outgoing frequencies from these biomedical devices. And I also use something called an earthing device, which actually grounds me against the electronic attacks and is able to really knock down about 80% to 90% of the directed energy attacks that are being thrust upon me at all times.
All right, we're going to come back, Michael, in just a moment and take final phone calls with you right here on Coast to Coast AM. We've got a great program for you tomorrow night, of course, with special open lines as well. And don't forget Sunday. I do the first Sunday of every month, as you know, with emerging artists. But Sunday, of course, being New Year's Day, we're going to have a special anniversary program, 14 years at Coast to Coast. Can you believe that, folks? 14 years already. Many more to go, but we're going to have a little party, and I want you to all come by. Our special guest tonight, Michael Fitzhugh Bell. His book is called The Invisible Crime. We're going to get to your calls in a moment. Michael, I'm sure the book is available on Amazon.com, and you must be pretty happy with it.
Yeah, it's I'm happy because I've a lot of people have responded positively to me, sending me emails on my website at www.invisiblecrime.com, and I believe I've helped a lot of people and given them some answers to a terrible situation, which is really unexplainable for many people.
Let's go back to the phones. Cornelius in Louisiana to get us going here. Hi, Cornelius. Go ahead.
Hey, George and Michael.
Hi.
You have the name of an angel. I'm going to tell you something. You ought to call on the Lord Jesus and everything, and he'll help you too. But I was telling Tommy, my thing is, I hope he can get with L.A. Marzulli. Of course, we lost Dr. Lear, and try to get those implants out or get a look at them where those people can help him, maybe in the alien abduction field. So I hope he can go to them. God bless you, George, and thank you so much.
Thanks, Cornelius. Yeah, we had a great doctor. He was a podiatrist who would take out implants, many of which he believes came from alien intervention, Michael. But gosh, had he still been alive, he'd be able to help you out quite a bit. There aren't a lot of doctors that specialize in removing them.
That's right.
And we need that. We need more and more of that as well. Do you find that this is more prevalent now than 10 years ago?
Oh, yes. I'm finding, especially from the emails that I get from people, and speaking to people, that this is spreading like wildfire across the nation, around the world. Also, too, I wanted to say that if we talk about the numbers for just a second,
yeah,
it's estimated that 1% of the world is targeted. Out of a global population of 7.5 billion, that is 1% of that number is 75 million people.
But
that
you,
is
a but
huge
you,
amount of number.
But you still think 50% of Americans have been
yes.
targeted?
That's what I've researched to be true. A lot of people that know a lot more than I do. I also, in the book, I described that I met an ex-CIA agent that confirmed to me everything in my book to be true, but also added that in as much as my book exposes, it barely scratches the surface of what's really going on. It's barely the tip of the iceberg of what's really happening.
We have a text back in L.A. Tom's got it for us. What do you have, Tommy?
Michael, this is from Geraldine in Fort Worth, Texas. Do you have any recommendations for folks to protect against becoming a targeted individual?
I would have to say that you would just have to be extremely vigilant and know that this is a possibility that the entire population is being scaled for this crime sooner or later. Every man, woman, and child, that is the goal. And so to be aware of that, to know that it's a possibility, and to think it twice about having an elective surgery that's not necessary, because that's where many of the implantations are being performed, with people that go in for cosmetic surgeries, things that are elective that don't necessarily have to be done. I would avoid any of those kind of surgeries, and anything that involves general anesthesia would be advised to not have something like that done. That's certainly going to cut out a huge potential right there.
Gosh, Michael, how do I know I haven't been targeted and they're going to control my talk show so I will say things they want me to?
It's possible that the mind control techniques that are being used are so subtle and happen over a long period of time, so that it's not something that people that aren't aware that it could happen would even think that are possible. And many of the people that are listening to this show right now that may be part of the 50% that have already been implanted, they may not be experiencing anything that they can detect on any level that they would be aware of. But still, it is the possibility. I mean, the reason that it's being done is for a reason. It's being done for the end goal of human enslavement and depopulation. So, and influencing the way people think, and their emotions and their urges can all be controlled now remotely by people. And it's also, I might add, highly illegal. It's completely illegal, and it's a war crime,
and it is a crime against humanity.
Of the 50% you say that are targeted in the United States, how many of them, of the 50%, how many of them know that they've been implanted?
Very few.
All right.
Very few. Very few. I mean, the people that I have examined just in my travels around the world, people would ask me what my book's about, and I'll say, well, I'll show you. Let me look at your hands. And I'll make them aware of the scars. More often than not, I find the scars and I tell them, and I completely blow their minds by pointing these covert surgery scar incisions that they didn't even know that they had, and they're complete. And then I also have the reaction of people like that are. It makes them frightened and it makes them angry that this has been done to them without their knowledge, permission, or consent, all done with taxpayer money. But also, I also have had some people say, you know, I was doing just fine until you told me the truth, until you told me about what's going on. Now I'm frightened. But people should be frightened. That's why I wrote the book. People need to be frightened. They need to be angry in order for this to be stopped, for things to be changed, for laws to be put in place to make things like this illegal. So that's really another point, another reason that I wrote the book.
Let's go to Sarah in Sacramento, California. Hi, Sarah. Go ahead.
Hi. Happy New Year and happy anniversary.
Thank you, Sarah.
Hi. I lived in Hollywood, in Los Angeles. My first apartment was in Hollywood. In 2003, I moved there. And a few months after I moved there, my landlord came to me and asked me if I would testify against some people in the building to try to get them evicted so they could raise the rents. It was a rent-controlled building. These were families. They'd been there 30 years, elderly people. I wouldn't do it. They then started trying to extort me, saying they were going to raise my rent $100 a month. I ended up finally getting a lawyer, as well as some of the other families in there. My apartment was bugged. I know people think this sounds crazy, but I would have conversations with my roommate. We would speak so quietly with the windows closed, talking like this where you could barely understand. And somehow they would find out. My lawyer advised me not to have any conversations regarding the case in that home. We found the manager of the apartment underneath my car one day. We think he was trying to put a tracking device under there. And the harassment just went on and on and on until I finally got out of there. And it was just the craziest thing. So, you know, I don't think I have any implants, hopefully, thank God. But, yeah, I was definitely harassed. And also my roommate at the time, he would feel sick. He thought someone was targeting him with some sort of a device. He would see someone looking at him and reach in their pocket, and then he'd get this excruciating nausea and have to just leave whatever he was doing. And later that summer, he worked at a computer camp there at UCLA, and a young kid brought in his dad's Israeli spy gear catalog and found a device that's similar to one that they used for crowd dispersion.
Yeah.
The ultrasonic sound, and he thinks that's what they were using. We later found out these individuals had ties with Israeli mafia, and so I don't know if maybe had some sort of a run-in with his landlords there, but also with the RFID chips, I've heard that they can be implanted in the flu vaccines. I heard Avian flu vaccine, that those had been in there. I do not take any kind of vaccine. That's just me. But no.
All right. Thanks, Sarah, for sharing that. Do you think they must be going crazy right now, Michael, knowing that you're talking on a national radio show about all this?
Yes, I still remember from our first show, and I remember you commented. You said your perpetrators must be absolutely incensed.
Yep.
that you're going on the show talking about this, and you're absolutely right. And as a result of doing an interview like this one, I will
you're going to pay the price.
Oh, I'll pay a price for that. Yes, I'll be punished severely for this.
Let's go to Mark in Truman Lake, Missouri now. Hi, Mark. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Good evening, George. Good evening, Michael.
Hi there.
Good evening.
I had a friend, an acquaintance, a friend, that has his story is so similar to yours. And he had problems. He couldn't go through, for example, a department store door that had a security check on it, or a metal detector at the courthouse or at the airport, or a laser, a speed detector from the highway patrol, the laser, you know, the speed gun. All those kinds of things would set him off and give him a hard time. And he dealt with it for so long, it drove him nuts. He could not hold a job. He lost his job, and he was basically on the streets. And we got him with the outfit here in town, and they helped him a whole lot. And, Michael, you're doing a good thing by talking about this and by getting it in a book and working on this. And don't let it get to you, son. You get yourself all better. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mark. That was very nice of him, Michael.
Yes, that was very kind. Thank you.
How many people running around with this? People think that they're nuts, that they're off their rocker. Does that happen a lot?
Oh, yes, more often than not. And also, too, you're going to run up against the perpetrators, which will automatically discount you and discredit you. The people that know about it are going to be the first that are going to say that you're crazy. The other thing I wanted to say was the amount of perpetrators. For every one target, there are 20 perpetrators. So 20% of the global population is in on this crime, that is part of it. One out of every five people know about the crime and participate in it on some level. That's a huge number.
Well, it sure is. Okay, let's go next to Loretta in Modesto, California. Good morning, Loretta.
Good morning, sir.
Good to have you with us.
What I'm calling in regards to is, I understand that earlier he stated he had something similar to amnesia. Was he ever able to maybe go and buy items and get home and not remember any of it?
I think he forgot it all. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I remember bits and pieces of my. I had several abductions, as I describe in the book. I remember vividly the portions of the abductions between the druggings of whatever they were giving me. I believe it was scopolamine or devil's breath, which gives the victim complete amnesia. But between the druggings is the moments that I remember, and I was. One time it was for a week, another time it was for several days. There were several, and then there was a couple of times that a sand, what I described before as sandman teams of a covert military team that came into my apartment and performed surgeries there as well. So it happened, but the amnesia was as a result of the drugging. I have not experienced amnesia that I'm aware of through any kind of mind control. But, of course, it may have happened, and I just simply wasn't aware of it. That's how subtle and how effective and how frightening these classified technologies are.
Let's go to our first-time caller, Bob in Oregon. Bob, go ahead.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, Bob. Thank you.
I'd like to know, you said that you had all that medical done abroad. How much have you spent trying to figure out what this is?
That's a great question. I'll tell you.
And insurance doesn't cover it, does it?
No. The information that I collected in my book, all of which... I think the book only cost $10 or $11, but what it cost me to write the book and to move 14 times in 9 years, it cost me, traveling around the world collecting medical evidence, over $600,000 out of my lifetime personal savings. But
jeez.
All that information that took me that much money to acquire
is all in the book. So I just wish a book like that was available to me when I was first targeted. It would have saved me a lot of time and energy and money. And it's really not available anywhere else. I haven't found any other book that's like it.
Was all of this effort worth it, Michael?
Well, I believe it is, because people that were unaware of this crime until I wrote the book or I done an interview like this one, they may or may not have been aware of it, but people need to be aware of it in order to stop this crime from continuing to escalate to the point where the entire human race is enslaved, and perhaps even things like a Holocaust or a mass genocide. These are believed to be end goals of this weapon system, of these classified technologies of the top 1% of the world. So I believe that writing the book is the least I can do to tell the world my story and to make people aware of this reality, which is coming sooner or later to every single person on the planet. That's what the plans are.
All right, my friend. Michael, you take care of yourself. Stay in touch with us, okay?
Terrific. Thank you so much, George. It was great to be back. Thank you so much.
You have a good new year, and you stay safe. If this is happening to you indeed, they are monitoring you every second of the day. So please be careful. Don't forget our Friday night show. It's going to be a little spooky. Plus, we'll have open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Glad to have you with us. And then the anniversary show, New Year's Night, on Sunday, January 1st. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.